You're listening to the NHExit.org podcast.
This is Russell again doing the NHExit podcast, and I'm restarting my series of interviews that I started 2 years ago, and I've been a while. And one of my first guys that I'm going to be talking to amongst my friends that know stuff about these kinds of things is Bear. So he called in, and we can record his thoughts on this stuff.
Thank you, Russell, for having me on your show.
Yeah, and this will be interesting. So the first question I sent you was, what do you think about the idea of decentralization in general?
I think it was Elon Musk who was saying that decentralization is where you have freedom, and centralization leads to despotism. And I'm fully on board with that. And also, as a matter of principle, we all have free will, and we all have our individual interests and our own rights that we have to look after. And that's about as centralized as I like to get, is with the individuals, which are those which are indivisible in their rights and in their responsibilities and their duties. So pretty straightforward. The more decentralized, the better. In most cases, yeah.
I was just right before our call, I was watching a interview where a couple of socialists were asking one of our friends some questions, and they couldn't even understand what he was talking about because they have in their mind so many things that have to be done collectively at like the federal or international level. Like one of the guys was Canadian and stuff. Wow. They don't understand if we're going to have any individual rights, well, that has to be really decentralized. Otherwise, somewhere's telling you what to do and you don't have any voices in the matter. I think we are agree on this kind of thing. So what do you think about U.S. states seceding, either in the past or now, or what comes up when you think about that?
Well, in general, secession is kind of a good idea if you want to be decentralized, right? But on the other hand, I also see it as chasing up the wrong tree, so to speak, because what we really want as people is something called sovereignty, right? At the individual decentralized level. And when I talk about sovereignty, I'm really talking about self-reignty. Sovereignty is self-reign, self-control, self-rule. And that is actually something that the Constitution provides for all the states of the United States. And that includes the people as well.
Do you think state secession kind of derails what you're thinking is important, yes, or do you think it's part of the process?
I think it derails what we really ultimately want, because what we ultimately want is individual rights. We have individual powers that are exercised either by ourselves or delegated to our representatives to exercise for us. And that's what the definition of a Republican form of government is. And as I was saying earlier, that's the kind of government that our Constitution guarantees to every state in the union. And that's what we ought to be looking for. And as far as secession, right, it's not that we want every state to be their own independent sovereign nation. In fact, they constitutionally, they are supposed to be that. The federal government is a government of limited and enumerated powers, not general powers, not police powers, and not powers that would infringe on the individual's right to choose what's right or wrong for him. So if we just go back to where the Constitution guarantees those rights to the individual and also to the states, we would essentially have sovereignty or sovereignty, as I like to say. To understand that, you really gotta dive down to the level of minutia for what exactly is a Republican form of government. And what I like to refer your audience to is the Kentucky and Wyoming constitutions, which state that absolute and arbitrary power over the lives, liberties, and property of free men exists nowhere in a republic, not even in the largest majority. And what that means is 51% or a majority of people cannot force the minority of people to do whatever they want them to do. And as I was saying earlier, a Republican form of government is one of delegated powers. And that means we, the people, delegate our power to our elected officials to represent them and serve our interests. And so we are self-governing. We are sovereigns, right? Self-reigns. And that's distinct from the European feudal system that preceded the American ideas. In the European feudal system, the prince or the queen or the king was the sovereign, and the people were their subjects, and it regarded them as the object, and the people had to regard the prince as the object of his allegiance and being and also being superior to the people. So that's not what we have in the United States. That's not what we are guaranteed by the founding generation.
Since you're talking positively about the U.S. Constitution, are you thinking a Republican form of government is the best kind there is in the world right now?
Well,
or is there
at least in theory?
Uh-huh.
At least in theory, it is, and it's actually worked quite well for maybe the past 150 years or maybe 200 years in the United States of America. The problem with our republic is that it's been sold off to the central bankers, and the money has been corrupted and so forth. And the money has been centralized. You see, when they centralize gold and silver into green paper rectangles or Federal Reserve notes, and they've centralized the purchasing power, they've defrauded the American people and our own right to save our money and not be poor, basically. So we need to get rid of that source, that primary source of decentralization, which we are doing. You know, we are doing that through blockchain technology and cryptocurrency and things like that. But
do you
what
think
I'm that... referring to it?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's
as
okay.
The Republican form of yeah, it is a political statement rather than an economic statement, which is very much linked, I should say.
Yeah.
Because when you're able to print the money, you're able to buy your elected representatives and corrupt the system and buy off the judges and steal the elections and so forth, and that really messes things up, obviously.
Do you think there's other places outside the U.S. Constitution that have some quite a bit of freedom or similar out there?
I'm sure there are, but as far as I can tell, from what I know personally about our Constitution is that if the words of the Constitution are actually followed, if we actually stay to the truth that is the Constitution and stay true to the powers allowable in the Constitution, then we would not be having this discussion because we would already have what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And the basis for our Constitution is, in fact, to escape the European feudal system. And so in our system, the power rests with the people. And our officers are the agents of the people. And at the revolution of 1776, it is said that the sovereignty devolved to the people, and we became truly the sovereigns of this country, but sovereigns without subjects, and none to govern but ourselves. And the citizens of America are equal as fellow citizens and as joint tenants in the sovereignty. That's a quote from Chisholm versus Georgia, which is one of the earliest Supreme Court decisions from 1793. And within that founding era. And sovereignty is something that I think every American should understand, because once they understand it, they'll understand that there's nothing between them and God, which is also another dimension to this kind of debate or logical construction. And that is, God created people. People created government, and government are subject to us, the people. So, in another case, Ye Guo versus Hopkins, it is said that, quote, sovereignty itself is not subject to the law, for it is the author and source of the law. And in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. And the law is the definition and limitation of power, the fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, considered as individual possessions, are secured by those maxims of constitutional law, which are the monuments showing the victorious progress of the race in securing to men the blessings of civilization under the reign of just and equal laws. And that's Ye Guo versus Hopkins again. And that just says, you know, we are sovereign. We don't need to ask our government whether or not they want to secede or whether or not they're going to impose this or that on the other thing. They do as we are told. You know, for example, some states, you have these ridiculous magazine bans or gun bans that, for example, say the people are not allowed to have more than 10 rounds in their magazines. Well, that's ridiculous, because the cops who patrol the beat on the street, they certainly have more than 10 rounds, and they serve at my pleasure. So how is it that they can have more rounds than the sovereignty that gives them this power in the first place? You know, so. That's another Supreme Court decision in Kawanoa. It's a very interesting Hawaiian name, Kawananokoa versus Polybank, right? 205 U.S. 349 from 1907. And it says this. It says, sovereignty is exempt from suit, not because of any formal conception or obsolete theory, but on the logical and practical ground that there can be no legal right as against the authority that makes the law on which the right depends. A suit presupposes, or I should also say a prosecution for a crime, presupposes that the defendants are subject to the law invoked. Of course, it cannot be maintained unless they are so. In other words, we the people decide what the governments do, and they should not be acting in order to deprive us of the powers that we gave them in the first place, right? So whether or not a state secedes or doesn't is almost irrelevant. We want everybody to secede. We want self-reign, right? Self-reign, sovereignty. That's what we wish.
How close to you know, say with the founding fathers and the Constitution and that time period being like maybe 90 to 100% free. Where would you say that would be? And then where are we compared to that now? How far away are we?
Well, freedom is really, in my opinion, anything that you can do without violating the rights of someone else. Because remember that we are, each of us being kings and queens and self reigns, as long as we don't step on somebody else's toes, we should be good, right? And that's really kind of the key to the philosophy of sovereignty, is because everyone is sovereign. Everyone has all the powers, limited only by the rights of others. And so if we're looking at the founding era, they are certainly the era with the most amount of freedom, which declined over time for whatever reason, you know, because money is not perfect, because the banks are always trying to scheme a way to create first and then second national banks of the United States and so forth, and then the Federal Reserve System that came later. They were able to steal our agency, our rights, slowly over time. And over time, I would say the American people became subjugated, so that now today, freedom is a very rare thing. It really is a rare thing. And it's rare because freedom is proportional to knowledge. And whereas in the founding era, the two most popular books at that time were like Blackstone's Commentaries on Law and of course the Bible, right? And when people lose their knowledge, and the knowledge of freedom, that freedom is lost. So from every founding generation, there is a decay of freedom. And if we were to be successful at secession, if any state were to be successful at secession, it's only a matter of time until the latter generations become equally subject, or even maybe more so.
Yeah, also, yeah, if you have people that don't know history and don't have any concept of freedom and responsibility, then yeah, you're not going to get any decentralization. You're not going to get any freedom for anybody, because they'll just set up something different, or they would never go for it. I don't think we can do something politically that'll fix things that that normal people aren't ready to do. And I think about, with that thing, part of what happened with the guys that did come to the United States and started things out is they were very educated and did read and enjoy those kinds of things. Lots of people can't read or don't read, and most of us don't know that much history. Right, we're
Yeah,
kind
and
of
most
we're
of us
stumbling
are
along.
right, and that's not an accident. That's not an accident. Government has been making people dumber and dumber ever since the government started. Since maybe the introduction of the first government schools back in 1850s in Massachusetts, right? People have been dumbed down over time. The education system is just one of the problems. The media has been bought by powers that that want to control our thoughts and ultimately what we consent to, and that's how tyranny works. You know, it works by convincing people who are not as well, basically sleepy people who are not vigilant, to accept more and more absurd and more ridiculous propositions, on which then they can take their acceptance and their consent and then force it on those who are more vigilant and make them accept the same absurdities, so that over time you'll have the most ridiculous propositions that are being made today that would not have made sense to us even a generation ago, but now it becomes almost like common sense, which is not, which it is not, you know.
So, since you're thinking that, like state secession, like New Hampshire secession and stuff like that, is not necessarily the answer, or might not even be the best thing next, what do you think is the best thing for people to do, or what kinds of things are you doing?
Well, the most important thing is to know the truth and to question the realities that are offered or put forth to us. I can give you specific examples. For example, if you want true sovereignty, you want to be the owner of your own property. And the property that's most sacred and original to everyone is what Adam Smith calls labor. You have to own your own labor. In other words, the products and the fruits of your own labor should not be taxed. And so it comes down to the idea of how to lawfully avoid the federal income tax, which is the tax on federal income, not the federal tax on income, and keep what you earn. That's the first and most important step. And once you've learned that body of knowledge and you're able to articulate it and to teach it and have other people know about it, then it's only a matter of time until we deprive the beast of the sustenance that it requires to run on. But that's only actually it's only a minor portion. The other bigger portion is to get rid of the central banking system so that they can't print money in order to operate. Okay. And of course, we have that tool now. We have that tool since 2009 with Bitcoin and related technologies. So those two things are probably the most important to have sovereignty, which is self-reign of your finances and of your own labor. Once we reach that as a nation, I think the rest of it will be easy. The rest of it will be just learning more about how the legal system deprives us of our rights and our properties, always under color of law. I mean, 99% of this is under color of law,
Yeah, it does
right?
seem like to me there's a lot of it is, they need our consent, right? They need to get us thinking that we need this certain kind of government and we need certain things. But yeah, the other big parts is that, them getting most people convinced that they need to pay massive amounts of taxes on their labor and like you're saying, and using their money. So, and then they have quite the control over you, and they're living off you. They're getting half of your labor. So then
Right,
they can punish you with your own labor. Yeah, very true.
correct. If you look at the average American who's working in the stores these days, I mean, I'm sitting here near Starbucks. I see these people working. They're working hard. They're coming to work in the morning. They don't get home until late at night. They don't make enough to cover most of their. Well, they make enough to basically just barely get by, right? And by the time they do that, they come home. They don't have time to associate with their children. They don't have time to educate their children. They don't have time to have meaningful relationships with the adults in their lives. And we have family problems that are running rampant. And that's exacerbated by the just absolute wicked twisting of our biology, fake women and fake men and all that kind of stuff. It's a part of the end game that they're trying to push on us, which is absolute destruction of the American family, absolute destruction of our society, and a complete breakdown of the people's will to work and to fight and to obtain our own liberties using our own agencies. Government is looking for, we started this discussion with decentralization. Well, government is looking for your decentralization of your resources, of your social connections, of your happiness. So they want to break down your family. They want to break down your finances. They want you to work really, really hard, and then they want you to pay a tax on top of that.
So yeah, some of the worst systems in the world purposely do want to break up connections of families and people like that, so that you're only connected to them.
Right. And that's what's happening now. Right? That's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. If you go to any kind of older town, and you look up the older houses there, they're very big houses. They're huge houses. Like the houses built in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they were very big houses. And that tells you a story. That tells you the story that Americans used to live in multi-generational settings where people were closely associated with their parents and those and their grandparents, and people were strong in their family relations, and they had money, and now we have the opposite. We have fragmentation of that social order. We have divorcees. We have single people living in small apartments and what they call tiny houses, and they love pushing that idea. So everybody is they call it independence. It's really separation from the things that make you strong, right? And they're destroying the American family for the purpose of making the individual weak and having no financial or other resources to back them up in case they get in trouble, whether it be with the law or the taxes or with the so-called employment or the corporation systems that they have to get their money from and so forth. So we're fighting an uphill battle. We're fighting a very, very difficult and uphill battle, but it's one that I still have hope for. And I'll tell you why, because again, we are in an era where decentralization of power is truly possible through blockchain technology. We are in an era where the average person can search, word search the texts in the law, and with a little bit of diligence, they can figure out how to get out of the whole thing. And I think we can refer your listeners to some resources at the end of it. You can maybe like plug in the YouTube channel that I know and so forth, and show people how to get out of it one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. What are your websites? I mean, because I know you have like a website, but then also the YouTube channel.
Well, I don't have a website. It's more of just a YouTube channel. And that the name of the channel is No Duty to Submit. No Duty to Submit. And it basically talks about statutory law, the construction of statutory law, and how it applies to taxation and also Second Amendment rights, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, right? So those are the most important things. Arms, your physical for the people, right? So that the government does not have a monopoly on violence. Arms for the mind. In order to get out of the system, you have to arm the mind, and you got to learn how to study the law. And the law right now is statutory law, and we have to know it in order to confront it, in order to expose it for the fraud that it is. And it's not that hard. If everybody does that, we will have self-exit. We'd have self-independence, self-reinity, again, self-custody of our money.
Yeah, well, and also that is something that somebody can do, as they learn things fairly quickly and don't have to wait for everybody else to get on board. And so then you start already making progress, and then extracting yourself from the Federal Reserve system piece by piece, it adds more to that. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'll put this. Yeah. I looked this up. So I have that. I got your pulled your thing up, of course, I'm already subscribed. You have 837 subscribers right now and 31 videos. I forgot about that. I'll post that on the text of this and stuff like that too. But, you know, I don't know. I think we've covered quite a bit so far. And I think it would make sense for us to continue this another time. You know, maybe we can talk again like in a month or something like that. But hopefully we'll have a few more people that will get to know you that don't know you personally right now, Bear, and through this. And, of course, they can find you through that YouTube channel or, you know, ask the rest of us how to talk to you and stuff like that. So,
yeah, you can also include my email address with the link, and they can send me an email if they want.
Okay,
I assume your podcast is either worldwide or at least nationwide.
And, well, yes. Anybody and that
the concepts that we're covering here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody that can find it on the internet can use it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and so again, this may be a New Hampshire thing, but every state, every citizen in the United States, has the ability. Maybe not the ability, but at least have the right to do what we're doing, and they can exit the system themselves, so that a secession is no longer necessary. So I'm almost more extreme in this sense than the New Hampshire secessionists, and that's kind of a lot to say, because I know a lot of people in our community are very very. They are kind of extreme in some regards, right? They're very active in their pursuit of liberty, and they're willing to risk their life and their liberty and their treasures and so forth to obtain that. Certainly some of the people in our community, I won't name names, but there's a lot of people who have paid some pretty high price for a lot of the things that we're striving for.
Yeah, we're definitely going up against bad guys, so there's a lot of hurdles. But this would be good. I'll wrap it up and turn off the recording so we can package this up for people to listen to. Also, this is all good. Everything we covered this time will be evergreen. You know, it's not just timely for right this moment. We're not covering news, so that'll be good too. But I'll say goodbye and close off close off the recording, and then we'll I'll get a couple details from you after that. All right, thanks, Bear.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me. Take care now.